This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us will be TJ Inman. We wrap up our final preseason preview, conference preview with the Big Ten East. Please excuse me today. I am under the weather, battling a cold. So if I sound like I'm underwater or an airline pilot, it's because of that. But first, before we start, a word from our friends, new friends at MyBookie. It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000 and only cost $100 to enter. All you have to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize. So that's it. All right. Please visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code Hoosier when creating your account to claim the bonus. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus when you use promo code Hoosier. All right, we're going to bring in TJ Inman right now. TJ, how's it going on this Monday evening in Indianapolis?
Doing great. Yeah, we are on our last preview here, last preview podcast, and it's game week. I am fired up to talk about the Big Ten East, but even more fired up that IU football is officially right around the corner. For it to be on the eve of game week, if you will, is really exciting. And on a quick side note, I would suggest everybody go and check out the new bicentennial uniforms that IU, screenshots of that came out today. I think they're really, really sharp.
I have not seen that. Where do I find that, TJ?
Somebody posted on Pegs. I think it's a uniswag.com or something like that. They posted a link to it. So I'm sure if you Google search bicentennial uniforms for Indiana or something like that, you'll find them. Really subtle candy stripe usage, subtle outline of the state. It's got Indiana's kind of a old-school logo, if you will, much more of the pitchfork look on the helmet. The gloves look really nice. The subtle pinstripe on the pants, I think they're really, really sharp. A little bit of a different font type as well, so what we use on our regular uniforms. I'm not 100% sure what game those are going to be worn for, but I think they're tremendous. So props to whoever designed those and gave the okay green light on them.
Yeah, it's on uniswag.com. They look, you know, they look pretty good. They have that helmet that Lee Wilbanks previewed on Twitter, and some plain fonts. The pants are, I mean, it looks very much like the regular IU uniform.
Yeah, they're not
this
much
year. The helmet's a little bit different. Good to see that. Let's preview the Big Ten East. It should be an interesting year in the Big Ten East. You still have the Big Four of Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. And then you have, of course, Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers. Let's start Let's start with the Michigan Wolverines. This is a program where a lot of media members are picking them to win the Big Ten East, to end their losing streak against Ohio State, to end their, you know, their hiccups in big games under Jim Harbaugh. They return Shea Patterson, who should be better suited for the offense. They're going to run under Josh Gattis. Issues I see with them is the running game. They don't have a proven running back, really. All that much. Chris Evans left the program. Kron Higdon graduated. True Wilson, a walk-on, is their leading returning rusher. And then you have two quarterbacks who are returning after that. And you know, Christian Turner is a redshirt freshman. He hasn't proven anything. And then Zach Charbonnet is a top recruit who is in for spring, so a lot to be left desired. Maybe in the running game, they do have an outstanding offensive line, and if Tariq Black and Donovan Peoples-Jones can stay healthy, their wide receivers are very good as well. And then the defense graduated a lot; they lose a lot. They lose their top three tacklers from a year ago, plus a couple big defensive linemen. It's going to be a young defense. And, you know, people I think are putting a lot on the offense. Just it's going to be an offensive-heavy team. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year for Michigan. They do get Army early, and they do play Notre Dame at home in October, which is a rivalry that I think should be played every year. They do get Ohio State and Michigan State at home. They do go to Penn State, and their crossover games are at Wisconsin, at Illinois, and Iowa at home for homecoming. So it's a very manageable schedule. Their open weeks are week 3, September 14th, and then November 9th. So it's a nice, you know, you got two games, an open week, a slate of 7, an open week, and then the final 3 of Michigan State at Indiana and Ohio State. So it's a pretty manageable schedule. I just, you know, it's time to put up or shut up if you're Michigan. You know, you made the necessary changes that everybody wanted you guys wanted them to make, and now it's time to see if it's you get Ohio State at home. If it's not this year, when are you going to beat them? So what's your take on Michigan, TJ?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that stands out to me on offense is the strength of this offensive line. Two potential All-Americans in John Runyon and Ben Bredesen on that left side. Cesar Ruiz is a potential high draft pick in the NFL. He's a center. So, I mean, the offensive line is really, really good. Credit to Jim Harbaugh for turning that from a weakness, which it was when he inherited that program, turning it from a weakness into a real strength for them. Shea Patterson, I think the hope is that the new offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, who everyone, you know, that you listen to in the industry unanimously loves this guy. He has never been the primary offensive coordinator for anyone. So, you know, this is a high pressure situation for him to come into. I do anticipate an uptick in the offense. I don't think it's going to be some radically, you know, improved, all of a sudden they're going to be a top 10 attack. I don't see that happening for the reasons you mentioned. You know, the running backs, there's some question marks there. I think Deshaun McKeon is a solid tight end. I don't think he's extraordinary. Or a real difference maker for them. Of their receivers, I happen to think Nico Collins is their best wideout. I think he's really consistent, very underrated, really, really good player that I could see ending up on an All-Big Ten team for sure. On defense, you know, they have a number of talented, versatile players that I think could be really good pass rushers. The ones that stand out are going to be Kwity Paye, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, and Josh Uche. Those two, really quick, really explosive, And Don Brown, their defensive coordinator, does a really nice job of making sure that those guys are in position to succeed, because they are not your, you know, every down run stopper type guys. They are going to be more of your explosive defensive end pass rush specialists that I think in a perfect world, IU would see Madison Norris develop into that type of player. And Michigan has, you know, a handful of those kinds of guys. So that's good for them. I do think that the interior of the defensive line could be a bit suspect. I think that outside of Kalik Hudson, linebacker, you know, some question marks there. I think that the secondary, Josh Metellus and Levert Hill, both really good. And then I'm sure that they've got, you know, a host of guys, mainly Aubrey Thomas and Daxton Hill. Daxton Hill is one of the best safeties coming into college football this year. He's a five-star player that I think will be used quite often in a lot of different ways for Michigan. They like him quite a bit. I do think that the biggest question mark for them is going to be, one, how much can the offense really change, and can they go from a good offense, which they were, to a elite offense? The answer for me on that is no. I don't think that they will. I think it'll improve slightly. I don't think it'll be a major sea change there. And then the second is, in big games, can that defense stand up and you know, really make a difference? Because we saw at the end of last season, you know, they fell apart. Indiana had some success against them. Ohio State just ran roughshod on them. And then Florida, say what you want, it was just a bowl game, but Florida did the same. They just embarrassed them, put up 41 in a game that was never competitive. So it's going to be interesting to see, can that defense in big games against top opponents, which is the expectation at Michigan, can they get it done? I think we might be tipping our hand a little bit, but Michigan appears to be the team that a lot of people are picking to win the Big Ten East. I'm not going that direction.
Yeah, I know that you're not a big believer in Michigan, and it's, you know, that you've got to see it first. Their history under
yep.
big games under Jim Harbaugh is concerning. And it's not like Ohio State doesn't have five-star dudes all over the field. You know, they still have those guys. Ryan Day is a pretty good head coach. Excuse me. Ryan Day is a pretty good head coach, and they'll be fired up for that. Let's move on. Speaking of Ryan Day, let's move on to the Ohio State Buckeyes. This is a
yeah.
team who I think is being undervalued by media. It's a program where Urban Meyer recruited very, very, very well. They got Justin Fields coming in, who was just named the starter, I think in the last 24 hours, at quarterback. We'll see what Justin Fields could do. He really hasn't had that much playing time experience sitting behind Jake Fromm at Georgia. And he's only played in certain situations and really hasn't had a chance to show what he could do. So I think a lot hinges on that, and I think people were a little nervous that that battle went on as long as it did with I think it's Gunnar Hoke. Hoke. But you bring back J.K. Dobbins, who IU fans know pretty well, ran all over IU 2 years ago in his first game as a true freshman. K.J. Hill is a fantastic receiver, super fast. It should bring a lot to the table there. Austin Mack and Benjamin Victor as well. They do have some holes to plug up on the offensive line. They should be able to do that with Jonah Jackson, a transfer from Rutgers. He's Rutgers' best lineman. He's coming over. And then the defense that – yeah, they have to shore up the defense. They got rid of Greg Schiano. They've simplified that defense and are going to make their athletes just play. But the linebackers were their biggest concern. Excuse Excuse me, guys. So it's, you know, it's there's still a lot of questions for Ohio State. I see why people are kind of picking against them, but it's still Ohio State. They still have all these five-star athletes all over the field, and it's hard to pick against their history with Michigan. You know, Michigan hasn't done it. They went up there and got manhandled last year, 62-39 by Ohio State. And, you know, this is a game that just means the world right now. And it has always meant the world to Ohio State. And I don't think Ohio State's going away as easily as everybody thinks they are. So their schedule's pretty manageable as well. Their non-conference games, they don't play a Power 5 non-conference game. Cincinnati's probably their most difficult game. And it's not a Power 5 game, but AAC counts as that fulfillment. A lot of these games are scheduled before you know, the Big East was dissolved. and then we'll see. They take trips to Nebraska, to Northwestern, to Michigan. They get Wisconsin at home. It's their bye weeks are – you know, they have two bye weeks and within a four-week span. Sorry, open weeks. They have two open weeks in a four-week span, which kind of, you know, sandwich between Northwestern and Wisconsin, two physical teams. So you have a chance to get rested up, play Maryland at Rutgers, and then finish up with Penn State and Michigan. So it's – I think the schedule sets up pretty darn well for Ohio State that, you know, they play Indiana in week three. Down in Bloomington, and that'll be a nationally televised game on Fox at noon, and then a trip to Nebraska. You know, if that both teams could be undefeated heading into that game, that's going to be a big, big game, big time atmosphere. I expect College Game Day to be out there, but other than that, you look at it, you go, okay, they should be 11-0 going into Michigan.
I think that that's realistic for them. I know that that's probably certainly their goal. That put them squarely in the playoff discussion for sure. With their schedule, I would wonder a bit, you know, does a 12-1 Ohio State, if they have a loss to, I don't know, at Nebraska, or a 12-1 with a loss at home to Penn State, I don't know. What would that look like for the playoff? And I, you know, there's just not a lot there on their resume outside of the conference. But I think they'd probably be okay unless there was, you know, some interesting things happening in the rest of the country. But I think that that would probably get it done for them to get back to the playoff. Now, I do think,
and those road crossover games, TJ, have gotten them in the past with that blowout
yes.
loss to Iowa and the blowout loss to Purdue. So maybe it's not,
yep.
you know, maybe they get tripped up, but it might be more how you lose
right.
than the actual loss itself.
Yeah, maybe you know, the at Nebraska game. I feel like that one is going to be so talked up. That I really feel like Ohio State, that's going to have their full attention. They won't have any trouble being motivated to go in there and kind of send a message in that one. So maybe you're looking at more like an at Northwestern. That's probably like a noon game in the middle of the season. You know, you're coming off a bye week. Who knows? But just looking at the roster, I think their receivers could be incredibly good with Chris Olave, who came on at the end of last season. KJ Hill, you mentioned, he's going to go down leading Ohio State's receivers as far as the record books goes in school history, which is saying something. I think that would catch a lot of people by surprise, but he's been really good for an extended period of time. And then they've had a guy in camp that is drawing rave reviews, Garrett Wilson, who is a five-star player that they think is going to be that next great Ohio State receiver. You know, it's a program that does not have to rebuild. They reload. They're certainly at that level. I do think the linebacker is going to continue to be a weak spot until it's proven otherwise. I think the secondary definitely got a big boost as David Arnett and Jordan Fuller both back for their senior years. But, you know, I think that there are some question marks at corner. Jeffrey Okuda has not been amazing. That could come back to bite them. But you're nitpicking when you're talking about Ohio State. The offensive line for me is the biggest one that I'm not sure if that's an elite offensive line. It's light on experience. Getting Jackson in from Rutgers certainly helps them. The guy that has played against the Big Ten and knows what's in store for him. So that definitely helps them. But I do think it's a little light on experience. And then the biggest question is going to be, you know, Justin Fields, is he capable of, you know, leading an elite squad? We don't know. You know, we have not seen it. It's a very inexperienced player in terms of, you know, starting and being the guy. I mean, he had Eric Fromm to lean on. I did it again. He had Fromm from Georgia, Jake Fromm, excuse me. He had Jake Fromm from Georgia to lean on before. I think that there's a question mark about just how good is Justin Fields. We know highly recruited prospect. We know one of the best recruits coming into the country and a, you know, highly sought after transfer. But I think that there's some questions about how much of the play of Dwayne Haskins can he replace, because Haskins was flat out incredible last season. And now they don't have that to go to. I think Justin Fields will be good, but I think if anyone expecting him to be Dwayne Haskins will end up disappointed. So they're going to have to find some offense elsewhere. And if I'm them, you know, I lean on J.K. Dobbins more than I have in the past. I think he has been an underutilized tool that I expect Ryan Day to run the ball a little bit more with this Buckeye team than we've seen before. You know, run it a little bit more, maybe not be so much breakneck tempo. Run it and then stretch the field with those talented receivers on play action. I do think Ohio State's going to win the East. They are my pick to win the East, and I think they beat Michigan yet again.
Yeah, I have them winning the East as well. I just trust them a little bit more than Michigan right now. But we'll see. It's going to be a big race in the Big Ten East. Moving to Michigan State. State now, this is an interesting team. If their offense is any type of decent, they're going to be a player and maybe be a player for a college football playoff spot. They have an elite defense, headlined by Raekwon Williams and Kenny Wilkes, as well as Joe Bocci, who seems like he's back for year number 10. And then you have David Dow and Josiah Scott in the secondary. This defense, Michigan State went 7-6 last year. Their offense was awful, and their defense carried them to 7 wins. So the offense is going to depend on how Brian Lewerke plays. If he's healthy and plays well like he did a couple years ago, this team is going to this team's going to put a scare into a lot of people. They have to go to Michigan. They have to go to Ohio State. They have to go to Wisconsin, and they have to go to Northwestern. They also get Arizona State at home, who knocked them off in the desert. It's a tough schedule for Michigan State. But, you know, if Lewerke and they can find a running back with along with Connor Hayward and right now Anthony Williams, who's a freshman, a true freshman, looks to be those top two guys. They have Jalen Naylor, Cody White, and others. Matt Dotson's a capable tight end, and their offensive line is pretty good. If this offensive line could gel and this offense could play well, I mean, they don't have to do that much. They just can't be a complete train wreck like they were last year. This team, I would say, is a dark horse to win the Big Ten East.
That's fair. Yeah, that's certainly fair. I mean, the offense was putrid last season, and what's interesting is that Mark D'Antonio elected, not to make any changes personnel-wise to that offensive staff. He didn't bring anybody new in. He did shuffle job responsibilities, which, the press release on that or the press conference on that afterwards was pretty kind of funny. D'Antonio talked about how he was, moving guys back to coaching the groups that they were best at and to coaching the positions they knew the best. And it's kind of like, well, I mean, if that's all it took, then why'd you have guys at positions that they didn't know that well? I mean, either way, it's either the second part is true and you had guys in incorrect positions and are now fixing it, which I guess is good, but then you're wondering, well, why'd you have them there in the first place? Or you're just moving guys around as you're loyal, which is good, but you're just moving, chairs around on the Titanic. So it's going to be interesting to see, do those changes make a difference? Does Brian Wilwerke, is he healthy? Is he able to be confident again? Does that make a difference? For me, the biggest thing is, can their offensive line generate any type of run game? And do they have any difference makers at running back? And then can their quarterback get the ball to those receivers? As you said, the defense is, one of the best in the country. And if they can just get some help, then they're going to be a very scary team. The thing that I think will hold them back is going to be, I don't think the offense, I think it can be average, maybe, but I do not think it can be a good offense given the personnel that we've seen on the field. And then, like you said, that schedule, it's a really tough one. And a lot of tough road challenges, and I don't see Michigan State challenging for the Big Ten East because of that. However, nobody wants to play this squad because you know it's going to be a really tough contest. And I think the over-under on them was 7.5, which I'd be very tempted to put some money on the over. I do think that they do better this season than a 7-win Michigan State team or even an 8-win Michigan State team. I could see them getting up to 9-3. Having a solid season, but unable to replicate some of the magic we've seen from some of their other squads. But, you can certainly squint and see a team that, could win that Big Ten East under the right circumstances. You worry about the team that has to go to Ohio State and to Michigan, plus have
and
to play
Wisconsin and Northwestern.
Yeah. You worry about a team that has offensive frailties mustering enough to win at those places. But I think that they're going to be a better squad than they were a year ago, unless Wilwerke is just shot and there's no helping that. If that's the case, then you could see the defense get discouraged and things fall apart and they struggle to get to a bowl game.
Yeah, it's definitely, Michigan State's one of those teams to watch, keep an eye on. Usually when people count them out is when they're at their best. Let's move on to Penn State. I'll preface this by saying I think Penn State, I wish the Big Four, the home games and the road games were reversed. I think we have a better chance at Michigan State and Penn State this year. I think Penn State is the team that IU, out of those four, has the best chance at. If this game was played at home, unfortunately, it's played at Beaver Stadium, where IU has never won. But you're breaking in a new quarterback, Sean Clifford, who really hasn't played. Trace McSorley is gone. He was an absolute killer quarterback. You lose Miles Sanders as well. He was very, very good. People kind of forget how good Miles Sanders was because of what Saquon Barkley did ahead of him. So you have Ricky Slade returning there. You have K.J. Hamler, who's kind of like Rondale Moore light. He's super fast. He's not as thick as Rondale Moore, but he's a dangerous playmaker. And, Justin Shorter, you lose Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins. Those big receivers were always a problem. And, you know, this offense might not be what this offense was the last couple years. It's going to be very interesting to see what Penn State looks like. This could be a year where Penn State takes a step back as they reload, coming off a 9-4 season. And do they go fall back all the way back after back-to-back 11-win seasons and a 9-win season back to those 7-6 teams of 14-15? Or, you know, do they just keep on keeping on? I would say they regress a little bit more. We'll see what they do. Their defense, you know, you still got Yetur Gross-Matos, who's, I think he had like 20 tackles for losses, some outrageous number. And Shaka Toney and Robert Windsor, all those guys, and Micah Parsons, who is a super sophomore. He's another guy that people have to keep an eye on. You got some young youngsters in the secondary who are coming into their own to play. But Penn State, I think, is very, very gettable. They do have to go to Ohio State. They do have to go to Michigan State. They have to go to Iowa. But other than that, you know, they get Idaho, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh before their open week. Play 5 more games, have an open week, and then end the season at Minnesota, IU at home, at Ohio State, Rutgers at home. So they can do some damage. I just think this is a year where they need to reload. They lost a ton of talent on offense from a year ago. And I just don't, you know, that offense had its questions anyway. When Trace McSorley was out, it's going to be, you know, if there was any year that IU could beat this team on the road, this might be it.
It's possible. I mean, it's definitely going to be hard to predict an Indiana win at a place that, when we say never, we mean literally never won at in Beaver Stadium. So it's going to be difficult to predict that. But, you know, you can see it. I mean, Sean Clifford, I think that they feel like he has a very good arm in terms of stretching the field. You're right about Miles Sanders, very underappreciated. They like Ricky Slade. They like Jeremy Brown. The coaches are kind of making a big deal about talking up the committee approach and how great that's going to be and how they're looking forward to being able to utilize multiple weapons. And, I mean, that's all nice. But being able to just turn around and get the guy like a Saquon Barkley or a Miles Sanders, who, no, he was not Saquon Barkley, but he was really good. Being able to give somebody like that the ball 25 times a game and feel really good about what's going to happen with it, you know, that's very valuable. They will miss that for sure. Their receivers, I'm not overly impressed with them. I know Justin Shorter is a 5-star kid coming in that they like quite a bit. KJ Hamler, I feel like underwhelmed a little bit as a freshman, but there were a lot of other weapons around him. So Pat Freiermuth, a very good tight end, one of the best in the Big Ten for sure. The offensive line, while it has improved, I still don't think it's a strength for them. You mentioned Micah Parsons. I think he could be an All-American this year. His fellow linebackers, Cam Brown and Jan Johnson, also very good. The linebacking core, I think, is a real strength for this club. Special teams for them is a pretty good position as well with Jake Pinneker and Blake Gillikin. I have Penn State going 8-4. I think they'll be a very good 8-4, but a team that ultimately does not challenge for the Big Ten East title.
Yeah, 8-4 is probably right around where they'll end up. But it's going to be interesting. This is a young team. Let's talk about the Indiana Hoosiers quickly, TJ. It's a team that we know very well. We've been previewing all summer long. It's a team that I think on paper is probably the most talented Indiana team they've had in a while. Now, talented Indiana teams have also gone 5-7 and not have made bowl games. You know, you look at 2013, And you had one of the most, you had one of the best offenses in the history of Indiana, if not the best. And they couldn't make a bowl game. So this year, I think for IU, you know, fans have to set realistic expectations. They might have to bite the bullet and realize that, you know, 5-7. I said this on a podcast with the, with another crew on Friday. You know, a step forward might not reflect in more wins. Even this is a year where there's a very high floor and a low ceiling for IU. It's kind of like Peyton Ramsey, high floor and a low ceiling. But, you know, you look at the schedule, you should go 3-0 through the non-conference. You should beat Rutgers. The season is going to swing on that game on October 19th at Maryland. If we get that, you roll into, you probably roll into the Northwestern game at 5-3 before heading into an open week. If you get Northwestern, you're playing with house money the rest of the way. If not, then you have to beat, you know, either Penn State on the road, Penn State or Purdue on the road, or Michigan at home. And it's, it could be the, I think, the fifth year in a row now that, that the bucket game is up for a bowl game for IU. And, you know, I don't think it's Tom Allen's job if they go 5-7. I know some people might think that, but, you know, 2020 was the year that I circled as the big year for IU. So it's going to come down to, you know, to me, I think they have to make the right decision at quarterback. And it, that might be rolling the dice on Michael Penix. And especially early, he needs game experience. You start off with two softies in Ball State and Eastern Illinois. If you can't beat Ball State and Eastern Illinois with a struggling Michael Penix, then I don't know, you know, then you have got bigger problems than the quarterback. You know, the running back group is loaded. TJ, your preview's coming out tomorrow. I believe you got Stevie Scott back. He looks like a beast. You got Samson James, who's put on, I think, 20 or so pounds in the offseason. Cole Guest, all indications out of practice, out of Bloomington, are that Cole Guest looks really good and explosive. You also have Ronnie Walker. And Ronnie Walker is a former four-star recruit. I'm mentioning him fourth, you know, in that list. You also have Ivory Winters as well back there. The receiving core is really good. The skill positions, I think, are as good as anybody. You've got Donovan Hale, Nick Westbrook's back. Ty Freifogel looks really good. You've got Miles Marshall. And a guy to keep your eye on is a true freshman, Jordan Jakes. He's 6'4", a big guy who could go up and grab the ball. And then the offensive line. And don't forget Peyton Hendershot at tight end. But this offensive line, there's a core group of seniors, and then you add in Harry Kreider, who's a junior, and you have a pretty veteran line outside of Caleb Jones at right tackle. But this line came to life last year and kind of bullied people down down the stretch, and you hope that they could take the next step in their development and become a really good offensive line in the Big Ten. And with these big backs like Stevie Scott and Samson James, they could lean on that running game late in games. In those big games where IU has the lead, you could just kind of like that double overtime Michigan game in 2015, where you could just lean on that running game and give that defense a chance. Now, the defense should be able to hopefully get a stop and not give up 50 points to Michigan. But outside of that, the Big Ten schedule is tough. You're on the road at Michigan State and at Penn State. You get Ohio State and Michigan at home. Crossovers are Northwestern, at Nebraska, and at Purdue. That's a tough crossover schedule. And then you look at at Indiana's defense. The defensive line can work by committee, and all indications are that the defensive line looks better than I expected, especially with Juan Harris in the middle. You should have a pretty formidable defense. They should be able to hit that top 25 goal that Tom Allen has set, And I'm talking total defense, not just in one category, you know, in total defense and scoring defense to be a top 25 defense. And if all of that sets up and they find a return game, this could be a special year for IU.
It could. I mean, the pieces are there. They've got to fall into place together. Really like the linebackers and the very deep secondary. So many interchangeable pieces there. You mentioned the skill positions, which are tremendous. You did not even mention Wap Villier, which is, you know, somebody that easy to forget about because of his injury last season, but certainly a potential game changer for the Hoosiers. Just a lot of weapons that IU has, but the one question, two questions that I have would be, are you getting good play from the quarterback? And then, you know, difference-making play from the quarterback. And then number two, offensive line depth. You know, if one of those starters goes down, are you able to plug in someone and not drop off? That's something that we hope we don't find out an answer to. Hopefully the O-line stays healthy, but if not, you know, how far down can you go before you start to see that drop off? Then a third question, just getting teams off the field on third down. IU's got to do a better job of converting those third and medium, third and longs into stops. And getting the opposition off the field, get your offense back out there. New offensive coordinator Kalen DeBoer, certainly an exciting addition for the Hoosiers. I'm really pumped to see what he has in store for us and for the opponents. And I mean, I'm always tending toward the optimistic side, but it's a tough schedule. It's forced to predict a record. I'm going to go 7-6 with a win in a bowl game, To be honest, we don't know. We know the pieces are in place. I know that there's going to be close games, and it's just a matter of whether or not IU can make those 50-50 plays that mean the difference between a close win and a close loss. I think we're going to have three or four of those games that come down right to it, and that's why you work so hard in the offseason, to get yourself into position and be able to make those plays.
Yeah, and you talked about the defensive keys. IU had 26 takeaways last year. A lot of that, there's a lot of luck, or, you know, turnover luck, as they call it, that goes into that. Usually one year after a high year, you take a step back. But with more skill on the field, if they could keep it at that rate, they should have a very big year. And then, obviously, the third down conversions, that starts on first down. IU last year, every time you looked up, they were giving up 5, 6, 7 yards on first down, and it's really hard to stop offenses when you have a second and three or second and medium and they're ahead of schedule. So I don't know what to project as a record. I'd like to say 6-6, but it's going to come down to that it's going to come down to that game at Maryland. You know, IU's at this point where, yeah, a lot of IU fans are saying, oh, we got to beat Ohio State, we got to beat Michigan, we got to beat Penn State, we got to beat Michigan State. It's eventually got to happen. And sure, yeah, law of averages says that eventually it's got to happen. But right now, I think where IU is at, they need to win the games that they're supposed to win. And if you look at S&P Plus and you look at ESPN's FBI, and you look at even at the over-under totals in Vegas, there are games in there that they're supposed to win. And Maryland and Northwestern, even though Northwestern won the West last year, those are games that IU is supposed to win. You know, no longer can you have those games where, you know, the Maryland game 2 years ago, the Minnesota game last year, Minnesota in 2013. The next step for this program is to win those games. Then you can worry about beating Ohio State and Michigan. If you win those games, be a perennial bowl team, and then take the next step. So, at least for IU and IU-wise, they need to take the steps in order. You can't skip steps, and I've said that over the last couple of years. They need to take those steps in order. The next step is beating you know, teams like Maryland on the road and Northwestern at home. You take care of business there, and then you take your shot at a winning record up at Purdue to end the season. So that's my take on IU. You know, some people will say I'm a downer. Some people say I'm an optimist. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to come down to that Maryland game. If they win that Maryland game, I feel pretty good about the rest of the season. Speaking of Maryland, TJ, let's travel out east to the Maryland Terrapins. It is an interesting team. They're going through a coaching change. In comes Mike Loxley with all the fanfare. You know, he's such a great recruiter in the DMV area. He's got, you know, he could talk an ear off and stuff like that. However, he has 3 career wins and 31 career losses. I'm not sold on the Mike Loxley turning around Maryland program just yet. They do bring in Joshua Jackson, the quarterback. He really hasn't stood out. They haven't named a starter. It's between him and Ty Pigrome, who came in relief of Kasim Hill last year. We'll see where that goes. You lose Ty Johnson at running back, but you bring back Anthony McFarland, who's one of the Big Ten's best as a sophomore. You've got Javon Leak. There's a lot of speed there. They lost Jayshon Jones at wide receiver for the year, and he was a guy as a freshman who had a big year. Jones was their second leading receiver. He also had 2 touchdowns rushing, was big on kickoffs. Their offensive line has some holes, but they could be good. Their replacements are young. They do have a good kicking game. Their defense is where they're going to get held up. They have to hope that these grad transfers come to play and come to play well. Other than that, if they can't get that defense going, it's going to be a long road to hoe. They do get their non-conference schedule is really tough. They have to go, you know, they get Howard, which is a gimme. You play Syracuse at home. Syracuse is coming off a 10-win season. They have to play at Temple. Temple's coming off a bye. Temple also beat them last year. And then you get your run of 7 straight Big Ten games, Penn State at Rutgers, at Purdue, Indiana at Minnesota, and then Michigan at Ohio State, Nebraska at Michigan State. I mean, that's a tough schedule to navigate, especially the back end of that schedule. So it's he might get a couple wins, but I'm not as high on Maryland as everybody else. What's your take, TJ?
Obviously, Anthony McFarland's a star, but beyond that, I see a lot of question marks. I don't think the offensive line's very good. The receivers losing Jayshon Jones is a huge blow. We have not seen their passing game be a real factor. Tyrell Pickram, I mean, I think he's a capable quarterback. I don't think he's a we know he's not a terrific passer. A guy that's going to beat you more with his legs, which maybe that's what they should just lean into and try to be just an elite running team. You know, take time off the clock and keep that defense off the field, because I think defense could be a major problem, as you mentioned. Particularly for me, no pass rush. No proven pass rushers at all. And then I think they could be run over. And I don't think the pass defense is outstanding either. So I think defense can be a real issue. I don't see Maryland going to a bowl game. But you've hit the nail on the head with that game that they host Indiana in October. That's a really big one for them. I do think that they'll give a few teams a real scare because of the kind of the top-end talent that they have, like Anthony McFarland. You know, we've seen him run wild on really good teams before. So I think we'll see some of that this year. But it's going to be really interesting to see how Mike Loxley turns recruiting into program success. And once that initial kind of bump from him being a new head coach there, once that initial bump wears off and you have to kind of prove it on the field, if Maryland gets off to a kind of a sluggish season here, will recruiting continue to go well for them, or will it, you know, kind of stale off as they people kind of wait to see whether or not he can improve on his so far very lackluster career as a head coach?
Yeah, and he had an incident where he was fighting with like an assistant on the sideline at New Mexico and things like that. Yep. Yeah, he's been at Alabama the last couple years, and there's a lot of articles, at least out on The Athletic, about how he's learned so much at Alabama, and they're running practices like they ran at Alabama. They don't have the talent that they have at Alabama. They don't have the coaching staff they have at Alabama and all of those things. Maryland's another team. I'll believe the hype when I see it. So let's move on. Speaking of hype, let's move on to Rutgers and close out the Big Ten East. That, of course, was sarcastic for all of you who don't know Rutgers football. They took a major step back last year, went 1-11 after Chris Ash, kind of avoided the executioner a little bit after doubling his win total in 17 to 4 wins, winning 3 Big Ten games. Last year was just awful. I know Chris Ash is on the hot seat. I don't know what Rutgers has to do for him to survive the year. Is it get to a bowl game? Is it, see improvement? One of those vague things where there's definitely improvement and all that stuff. They went 1-11 last year. So if they go 2-10, is that improvement enough? Probably not. So they begin the year against Massachusetts. Then they go to Iowa, Boston College at home, at Michigan, Maryland, at Indiana, Minnesota, Liberty, which I think is going to be a tricky game for them in the middle of the year, at Illinois, open week again, Ohio State, Michigan State, at Penn State. This could be an ugly end of the year for Rutgers. They bring back Art Sikowski, who was god-awful last year. He threw 18 interceptions, 4 touchdowns, completed on, only threw for 1,100 yards. They do have 2 good running backs in Raheem Blackshear and Isaiah Pacheco. Bo Melton's a good playmaker as well. They have some guys around him, but anytime your quarterback throws 18 interceptions and 4 touchdowns, it's going to be for a long year. That defense loses a lot as well, especially at the linebacker position where they had 2 very good linebackers last year. It's just I don't see, and especially if they get off to a slow start, and they could theoretically start 1-3. I don't think they lose to Massachusetts. 1-3 going into Maryland. The way that finishes up, this team could just say we've had it, and Chris Ash could be out by, he could be out by the time they roll into Bloomington on Columbus Day weekend. It's just I don't know how to fix Rutgers. It shouldn't be this bad. New Jersey is loaded. The move to the Big Ten should have paid off. They're building facilities and things like that, and they made it work in the Big East. And maybe you just can't – that talent, it just doesn't transfer. And being in the Big Ten East is tough. We all know that. Is it really worth it for Rutgers to get that paycheck? Maybe it is. It's going to be a long year for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. What's your take, TJ?
I think the offensive line is a huge problem. I don't think that they are any good up front. I do like the running backs. The receivers, honestly, lack explosiveness, lack playmakers, we think, although it's kind of hard to tell because of the poor quarterback play, which you figure to be slightly improved, but I mean, the bar is low there, so I wouldn't expect a whole lot better. I think the defense is fine, but they're put in so many disadvantageous positions that it's hard to be any even decent defense because of the lack of offense that they're dealing with. I think that Rutgers will be very fortunate to win four games. I do think this is Chris Ashton.
I think they would be fortunate to win two.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I think it's Chris Ashton's last year. I don't think there's enough they can do within the realm of possibility to keep him there. Now, the interesting thing will be who do they turn to after that? A couple of names that I think will be very interesting to monitor would be Jeff Munkin from Army, which I would personally be a bit nervous about if he went there. As an IU fan, I think he could do a really good job. The second,
well, anytime you bring the triple option in, it's going to be tough because it's you have to focus on that, and then you're getting the athletes that Rutgers could get, and a coach like Munkin, that might be Rutgers' best play.
And I think the second one that you'll hear pop up will be Greg Schiano to make a return to Rutgers. But we'll see. I mean, that's down the line. I do think it's a game that Indiana obviously has to win.
It's homecoming. They have to win this game. I mean, this is a game that they – it's not even have to. It's they should win this one. I mean, if you don't win this one, you know – all bets are off for the rest of the season. But yeah, four games would be, I think a miracle at Rutgers, this year. You might get three, but two, just looking on paper is two. And one of them is a Hugh Freeze coached Liberty team who has knocked off some people in the past. But I don't know if Chris Ash is going to be the coach for the final three games of the season. And that's where Rutgers is at right now. That's and that's good for IU football. You know, you've got to stay above Rutgers, Maryland, Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, in recruiting. And, you know, anytime that one of these other schools gets torpedoed like this, you know, IU has a chance to move up and things like that. And all too often it has been that IU has been torpedoed and going through coaching changes and rebuild after rebuild after rebuild. Maybe finally IU can build on beating up on Rutgers and some of these other teams that have made coaching changes recently. So, you know, everybody dogs on Rutgers, and I get it. And maybe it's the East Coast in me. I feel bad for Chris Ash. Every time he's on TV in one of these games, he looks like he's about to cry. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll see. So closing thoughts on the Big Ten East, TJ.
It's a very good division. I don't think there's any playoff teams outside of Ohio State. I think they're the only one that has the overall talent to get there. I don't know if they will or not because it is a very competitive, balanced division. Certainly better at the top than the West, but the West is closing the gaps. That's for sure on the overall division. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, though. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, if Michigan runs the table, they're definitely a playoff team. They you know, that means you beat Ohio State, beat Notre Dame, Michigan State, Penn State, you know, Iowa, all those, they've done enough. I don't know if I trust Michigan. I'm taking Ohio State to win the conference. I don't know if they'll make it out unscathed. And I don't know if a one-loss Ohio State team makes the playoff. It's going to have to
– right.
It's going to have to shake out. You know, we'll have to see how the rest of the country shakes out for them to make it. But I'm taking I'm taking Ohio State, Michigan to come in second, Michigan State third, Penn State fourth, IU fifth, Maryland sixth, and Rutgers seventh. So that's our take.
We are,
next week
we
is game preview. We're finally there. So
Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us, TJ. And click back
Absolutely.
To HoosierHuddle.com. We have all our previews coming up. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And we'll be with you throughout the 2019 season, win, lose, or draw. And that does it for our preseason previews. We thank you for listening. Tune in weekly every Monday to get a recap and a preview of that week's games. And season will get started here shortly.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.